Great to be here. I appreciate all of you so very much. And of course, this is one of our three church homes. And Jennifer may have another one down in the Scioto County area. But as far as us being as a married couple, this is one of the three. And so we really appreciate you all. And of course, as I mentioned before, our kids grew up here basically. So this is there's a real special feeling here, of course. I didn't mention to Jennifer that when you do these summer series, you give the speakers a book because she would have been mad because she thinks I have enough books. So, but they sent a book with the outline, honey. So anyway, and a lot of you have them here tonight, which is intimidating. No, I'm kidding. So I do want to note with you just briefly, 5 or 10 minutes at the most, the subtitle to the book and how it relates to peace, just a little bit. So on this, the subtitle of the book is, as you can see, 9 Decisions That Will Transform Your Life Today. And the first word I want to highlight is the word decisions. And a lot of times when people are indecisive, when people are not able to make a decision, one that is concrete, one that is solid, one that is good, that causes them to lose or have a diminished feeling of peace in their lives. And so it's important to make decisions, to be decisive. When indecision is hanging over us, it is a stress inducer. Josh is now down at Lipscomb University, believe it or not. The baby and the family. And so we didn't notice this until the decision was made and he was accepted and everything was done concerning where he was going to go to school. But once all that became clear, and once that lack of knowledge and that indecision was gone, it was like a cloud had been lifted and a weight had been taken off of his shoulders. And again, we really didn't notice it during the time until it was gone. And then it was like, wow, this has made a really big difference in just how he feels, just because the ambiguity was gone. And so it's important for us that we just go ahead sometimes and make a decision and not leave things hanging. So that can help us. And of course, Dr. Jeremiah is pointing that out, that there are 9 decisions you can make that'll really help your life, make it an amazing life. And one of those is to choose peace, to make the decision for that. Then the next one, transformation. And all of us in Jesus Christ have been transformed. We have been turned into new creations, new creatures. We've been changed. But all of us know that as we live the Christian life, that there's a continuing aspect to that we are continually moving, hopefully, toward being more like Christ, hopefully being more godly, more spiritual. And so this transformation that did take place in baptism, is there's a sense in which it's still going on, and that's the idea of sanctification. I like Romans 12, 1 and 2 concerning this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship or service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so Paul's writing to Christians. He's writing to the people in Rome who are in Jesus Christ. But he still says to be transformed. Even though they've gone through the transformation, the initial one at baptism, they still need to be transformed. It is still a continuing action that takes place in our lives. And so the third of the introductory words that I want to kind of just note is the idea of life. And really, nothing super deep here, except for the fact that being in Christ is very deep, a very amazing deep concept. But that's what's being transformed. That's what's being changed. And so Dr. Jeremiah throughout the book talks about how this life can be amazing. This life can be something extremely special. It can be a transformed life, and it is your life that's being changed, that's being moved. And of course, for those of us in Christ, the life is Jesus Christ himself. That's where we have spiritual life. John 6, several verses here. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who don't believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." And so this having life in Jesus Christ is scary. It is something that can be overwhelming to someone, but that's where life really is. We're told here that some turned away. They couldn't bear the cost, so to speak, the very cost of one's own self. We're taught to take up our crosses daily. We're taught to be willing to die to self, to really allow Jesus to be our life. I was tempted in the main part of the lesson to put Colossians 3, 1 through 4 in there. And I thought, no, they've heard me talk about that too much. So, but Colossians 3, 4 says, "But Christ, who is your life, when he appears, you will appear also with him in glory." And so right there in Colossians 3 and throughout the New Testament, really, we're taught that Jesus is our life. And that's significant. And so our, whatever you want to call this, this transition life from the time we're born till we go up to be with God eternally, during this time, we should be transformed. We should be moving in that direction to be more like Jesus himself, who is, once again, our life. And then finally, the concept of today. And I didn't put any passages in there. The one that's up on top of your, not the one in the glass, but the one above that from Psalm 95, talks about today. "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts like they did at Massa and Meribah." And that's quoted in Hebrews 12, that same section of that psalm. And the concept in Hebrews 12 is the same thing. You know, today, as long as it's called today, in other words, this is urgent, this is important. And I don't know if Dr. Jeremiah meant it exactly in that way, but this all can happen now. And there is an urgency to the transformed life, and there's an urgency to making decisions that will help us move in the right direction. We make enough decisions that kind of hold us back. We make enough decisions that kind of hurt us. So he's saying, hey, here are 9 things that you can make a decision about, and it will move your life in the right direction. And so today's, of course, is the concept of peace. So let's change the picture and go with not a summary of the book, but let's go with what we're looking at tonight. And peace, a huge, fabulous, wonderful concept to me. It has been something that has been on my heart to talk about, to read about, to study. I wouldn't say for as long as I've been a Christian, but maybe as long as my Christian life has included adulthood, maybe since college or so, maybe even a little bit in high school, I became a little bit obsessed with the peace passages in the Bible. Dr. Jeremiah, he does a really good thing in talking about the actual word, first of all. So I'm not going to talk a whole lot about it, but a little bit. And so there's the word peace in, I don't know, 200 different languages. I don't have a clue how many are up there. But you can see the English word. And right below the English word is the Hebrew word. And if you know Hebrew, which I assume all of you do, no, I'm kidding. You don't need to know any Hebrew. But the big funny thing that almost looks like a candelabra, that's a SH. And then the next letter's an L. You can kind of pretend that's an L, going from right to left. And then the last letter is an M, and it's shalom. And you guys probably have heard the word shalom. And shalom is the Hebrew word for peace. And if you go to New York City and you walk the streets, you'll hear the Jewish people greet each other with the word shalom. And so I've got one Old Testament passage, one New Testament passage that are pretty familiar to you. This is Numbers 6, 24 to 26. And you don't have to know Hebrew at all. You just have to be able to be in preschool and know what matches with what to see the parallelism here. The blue, that's the word for Lord. And so the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. That's the second line. Then the third line, the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you. And that last word in the bottom left-hand corner is shalom, and give you peace. And so the peace is paralleled with grace, with God being gracious to one. And it's paralleled with him keeping us. And so the concept, and Dr. Jeremiah does a great job of this, but the concept is wholeness and completeness. In the New Testament, the Greek word for perfection also means to be whole, complete. And so it's that idea. It's if you have the peace that is God's, then you're going to be whole. You are going to be complete. You're going to have satisfaction. The Rolling Stones should have ended their song, Shalom. I can't get no satisfaction, but now I've got it. Shalom. I've got peace. So that's the Hebrew passage that might be. And notice the English versions usually put face and then countenance, but you can see up there in the green, it's the very same word. So a lot of your English versions of Numbers 6, 24 to 26 will say, may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And then may the Lord lift his countenance. But then there are a lot of times there's a footnote that says literally face. And so it's the same concept. Just you want God's attention on you. You want his blessings in your life. And so then the Greek one, and again, just the colors so you can see, the first word is the word for peace in Greek, and Dr. Jeremiah didn't use this verse, but he talked about this. Strongly related to reconciliation in the Greek, but really what we need to know is what it meant in the Hebrew, because when Jesus was talking, that's what the people would have known. When Jesus was speaking, that's the concept of peace they would have been familiar with, this idea of wholeness and completeness. And so the word in yellow is the word for peace. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. And the word give is in the green. And not as the world do I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. And then the last sentence there. I got to look. I don't know Greek. And I can't see anymore either, up close. I should know it, but that's why I wrote it down. Because when you're actually speaking, sometimes you forget. Let not your hearts be troubled. How could I forget? And let your heart not be afraid either. And so be not troubled is in orange, and be not afraid is in orange. The blue words, I just highlighted them because you might recognize them. Cosmos and cardio. So cosmos is the world, and cardio is the heart, as you might have suspected. So, any comments, any questions? Not about Greek or Hebrew, but the concepts. Any questions, comments?
That will be in the text, though.
That'll be in the, next, Robin, I think there's one question from each presentation this summer. No. Okay, all right. So next, Dr. Jeremiah goes through the three, well, I'll just put them up there, I'll put the first one, peace with God, peace from God, and the peace of God. So he goes through those three concepts, and we'll do that. We won't spend a ton of time just because of time, but peace with God is the concept, really the brunt of it, is the idea of reconciliation. So peace as opposed to conflict. And so that's really one of the bottom line meanings of peace. There's the peace that is opposed to conflict, but then there's the peace, almost like the Eagles song, peaceful, easy feeling. And that's in Scripture as well. God wants us, he wants the peace we have with him as opposed to no conflict. He wants that peace to bring us that peace that passes understanding, that peace that is more of a feeling, the peace that can kind of lead us, the completeness and the wholeness and the satisfaction that can lead us through the hard times, lead us through the trials, the temptations, the rigors of this life. And so peace with God, again, really the reconciliation idea. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So here the peace is coupled with the justification. We've been moved from a status of conflict and judgment to a status of this peace, this reconciliation, this being brought back together with God. The justification having to do with the law. If we are not justified, the gavel comes down and we are guilty. But being justified through faith, because of the blood of Christ, the gavel comes down and we are found not guilty. And that's the concept in Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We've been set free from the law of sin and death. That's no longer any part of what we have to deal with. We are at peace with God. And so, no more conflict. The second thing that Dr. Jeremiah does is talk about peace from God. And really, I couldn't think of a better way to summarize that than just talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And really, when we say peace from God, we're acknowledging that God is the one who provides it. And how does He provide it? Of course, He provides it in Jesus Christ. He provides it at the cross. He provides it through the work that was done there by Jesus. And so, one of the passages Dr. Jeremiah uses here is the one that we already looked at in the Greek. You can say that you looked at some Hebrew and Greek tonight, if anyone asks you, and if you care. But, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Jesus and the Father and the Spirit, God Almighty, they are the ones, or He is the one, who has the right to give peace, and He is the one that does provide it. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And so that gives us the flip side, or the contrast with peace. The opposite of peace, the way Jesus is using it here, is to be troubled or to be afraid. And we do have a lot of trouble, as Robin said, as he introduced tonight. You know, we need peace. And we need it in a whole lot of different ways. We need peace between countries. We need peace in our country. We need peace in our families, in our communities, in our congregations. We need peace. And when God's peace reigns, when God's people allow it to, when the world allows it to, it's really nice. But a lot of times we deal with a lot of conflict, a lot of trouble, and a lot of fear as a result. Okay, and then thirdly, the peace of God. And really there, as you would imagine, it's just that God is the ultimate source of the peace. And with this one, I want to spend a little bit more time and quote, as Dr. Jeremiah did, from Philippians chapter 4, but go through a few more verses, 4 through 9. That's what I'd like to do here. And so, very familiar passage to us. And really, even in the first verse, even in verse 4, we are confronted with, if you will, we're faced with the idea of being positive almost no matter what. Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, you know, Robin prayed for several people that the world would say, the world's wisdom would say, there's not going to be any rejoicing there. But in Christ, there can be. The joy of the Lord and the peace that passes understanding and the love of God Almighty, love, joy, and peace, which were the first three in the book, those are pretty nice umbrella concepts that really in Christ, no matter how terrible something is, we don't have to lose love. And no matter how tumultuous a situation is, we don't have to lose peace. And no matter how sad something may be, we don't have to lose joy. So love, joy, and peace can be consistent in a Christian's life, no matter what. Okay, I'm going to turn around and see if I lost the screen. No, didn't lose it. So Robin's fooling around with the mouse, but no. I better hurry up. The thing's on a timer. So he said in by 8. So, okay. I'll assume the timer. I still have about 35 minutes. All right. So rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And this is ESV up here, English Standard Version. I had never heard of it until about 5 years ago. Very good translation, but I do not like the word they use there, reasonableness. It just seems awkward to me. It's not a bad translation. It's just weird. We don't say reasonableness usually. But let your reason, the fact that you are somewhat logical, allow that to be evident to other people. Allow your stability. Allow the fact that you're not unreasonable. Allow that to be evident to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So if we allow those things to happen, then the God of peace, a lot of if-thens in Scripture, aren't there? Too many. then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And of course, that's what we want. We want, and that's what shalom is all about. It's God keeping us. It's God being gracious to us, blessing us. It's God giving us peace. It's Him holding on to us and us holding on to Him for dear life, for spiritual life. So I'll leave it at that for that. I always like to, when talking about peace as opposed to anxiety, when talking about peace as opposed to, some people have anxiety as a diagnosable medical condition. And of course, that's different than what's being talked about here. So if you or a family member or something, you don't have to feel, I don't know how to put it. Just like you wouldn't feel guilty over a broken leg. You don't have to feel guilty over anything that is not quite right from a medical standpoint. And we can get help for those things. So when you see these passages and you've maybe lived a life full of anxiety, the blood of Christ is washing you clean. And, I've had people really wonder about their salvation because they are kind of nervous by nature. And that's kind of just a different thing. And I think we all kind of have a feel for that. It's just hard to articulate it sometimes. But even if that is someone's condition, or even if someone unduly is involved in anxiety by choice, as opposed to because of a medical condition, even then, God, His love, His mercy, His forgiveness, His, He wants us, and He will do everything in His power to make us whole. And in Jesus, we are made whole, and in Jesus Christ, we have salvation. So, just want to make those few comments about that. So there are still two more verses here, 8 and 9. So finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, lovely, commendable, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So again, a whole big chunk of things for us to think about. When Jennifer and I were engaged, and about to be, that's kind of redundant, about to be married, as opposed to getting married, then getting engaged. But anyway, I was a senior, I was in my 5th year of college, and senior year number 2. And so And I thought, I'm not ready to be married. I'm just a dumb kid, you know? And really not ready spiritually. And so this was one of the passages I prayed from every single day my fifth year of college. I would pray, God, help me to think about things that are lovely and pure. And you know my other passages, because a lot of you know me well enough to know them. The fruit of the Spirit, Colossians 3, 1 through 4, and then Romans 8, 5 through 8, where it talks about thinking according to the Spirit as opposed to thinking according to the flesh. I just thought, well, at least maybe I can get my mind halfway decent before the wedding. And Jennifer's like, Clay, you need to go through that again. You need to take a year and pray all those passages again. And I do. I probably really do. So anyway, but these are the things we're supposed to think about. And so if we think about things that are true and think about things that are honorable, things that are lovely, things that are pure, if we can focus our minds, we will have more peace. And we'll get to a little more of that in just a little bit. But notice the parallelism here. We have the peace of God in verse 7 and the God of peace in verse 9. So not exactly parallel, but pretty close. And then notice what's going to happen. The peace of God, and it's noteworthy that it surpasses all understanding. This is one of those concepts, just like love and just like joy, you know, we experience these things, and we might be able to put a little definition down on a piece of paper or look on Wikipedia and see what joy means by definition, but only in Christ do people really grasp these concepts. There's a lot of love among non-Christians in the world, and it's real love. They are still made in the image of God, and they are still capable of loving. They're still capable of experiencing joy, still capable of experiencing peace, but nothing like the person in Jesus Christ. Nothing. I mean, there's just a step up in degree when one is transformed and when one has God's Spirit within him or her. So the peace of God, it surpasses all understanding. This peace, God's peace, God himself will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What's the root of heart in Greek? Cardio. All right. Ooh, that reminds me. I haven't been to the rec center in a long time. Mike and Reba, sorry, haven't seen you over there. I need to get back to the rec center. That's for sure. All right. And then verse 9, the God of peace will be with you. And we're going to notice, and Dr. Jeremiah pointed this out, there's a huge parallel between Christ and the Word. And of course, he's called the Word in John. He is the living Word. We have the written Word, and he is the living Word. And his revelations and his words and his communication, his declarations, the way he shares with us who God is, are just, those things are all incredible. And there's great peace in Christ, the living Word, and great peace in the written Word, in the Bible, in the revelation of God Almighty. And there's even peace in God's creation. The Psalms bring this out big time. The heavens declare the glory of God. And so when we have a lot of ways that we can experience the peace that comes from God. Okay, moving on. Okay, so a little input from you all if you want. You don't have to. I've got plenty to say. But what are some of the things in this life that diminish or squelch or even might quench a person's peace? What are some things that are tough for people to hold on to their peace as they experience? Any thoughts about that? Anything you want to share?
Loss of a job.
Loss of a job? Absolutely.
Or the job.
Yes. Yeah, there's a young lady over at Fishinger and Kenny, and she really, 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 really struggles with her job. And I don't get to talk to her too much, but I was talking to her husband and said, how's she doing with work? And he was, oh, she still can't stand it, but she's you know, pushing through, and her job does change possibly with elections and other things. She doesn't exactly work in politics, but she works for someone who contracts. Anyway, it's convoluted. But anyway, so she's almost hoping she loses her job in November and is forced to get a new one. So, but we'll see what happens. But yes, absolutely, losing a job can cause someone to lose track of their peace, and actually the job can. So, and Jenny, why are you saying that right as school starting? So, it's a mystery. Yes, it's a mystery. All right, any other ideas on that? Yeah. Medical issues, huge. Yeah. And so many people deal with so many medical things. And it's funny, some people, we have a lady who was just in the hospital again. They got halfway through her surgery. All the anesthesia, the anesthesiologist calls two more anesthesiologists into the room. And the three of them make the decision to stop this surgery right now. It was halfway through, but they thought they were going to lose her. Her blood pressure was down like 50 over 40 or just something ridiculously low. So they probably saved her life by stopping it. But she, I mean, she just smiles and laughs, and she just seems to be ignorant to what's going on. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally joking. She's not. Ignorance is bliss. No, she's not ignorant to what's going on. I'm kidding. But she's one that just is at peace. And then, you know, then I might get a hangnail and get all freaked out about it. I'm kidding. But, you know, just for some people, they can hold on to that peace almost no matter what. But medical issues, that's a huge, huge thing. So anything else? Financial issues, yeah, very, very good. In fact, that's probably one of the highest. That's probably one of the biggest. Of course, Dave Ramsey, a lot of you are familiar with him. He has Financial Peace University, so he's linked this concept of peace with finances and learning, and has made a living off of that. And so he realizes that, you know, there is a way to financial peace, but a lot of people haven't found it. So, very good. Yeah. A car accident? Were you in one recently?
No.
Okay, but just you, but you know. Yeah. Yeah, really. Yeah, that was a dumb question, wasn't it? Because going home tonight, I'll feel all guilty if you. But anyway, yeah, just any kind of traumatic incident that's out of the norm can cause someone to lose hold of that peace. And I'm wording it that way on purpose because it doesn't mean that we don't have the peace that passes understanding. It doesn't mean that God has snatched it away from us. It means when we go through some of those things, we kind of lose the reality of it. Kind of like with God. Sometimes people feel like God is far away. He's still right there. It's just our fallen nature to kind of lose track of reality. Yeah, Brady? Yeah, yeah, family struggles, Brady said. And yeah, absolutely. We want to be at peace with the people we love. And when there's struggles of whatever kind they might be, that peace disintegrates. Yeah.
I don't really know how to say this without getting political, but when you run across people that have got a totally different viewpoint about some situation, and yet they profess to be Christian too.
And how could they possibly be? I'm kidding. I'm joking. I'll never forget Tommy and Jenny came back from a trip. Tommy and Stephanie came back from a trip. And I think you and Scott were part of the conversation as well, but I'm not positive. But anyway, Tommy and Stephanie came back from a trip, and they had met people with very diverse views from them. And you probably don't know how Tommy and Stephanie feel politically because they don't talk about it. And they really, they struggled in that interaction. They struggled with exactly how to handle it. And so, you know, that can be one of those things, Steve. And So anyway, yeah, you're right. And it doesn't have to be even political. It can just be really diverse views on an issue and how to have peace, how to reconcile those things cognitively or in a practical way. If, like, let's say if you have to work with someone, or if you're a member of a congregation with people. We have tremendous diverse political views and other views with this many people in a room, and at all our churches. So it's but that is something that we have to deal with. We have to still have peace. So let's look at those pictures up there one by one. This one, hardship, sorrow. A lot of times when people go through the tough times, it is hard to hold on to the peace. Or, again, to realize the reality of the peace that passes understanding. The way in which God has brought us back together with Him, and the way in which He has blessed us to have a wholeness and a completeness that helps us move through and cope with or deal with these kind of situations. Confusion is another one. And math will do that to you. I don't know how well you can see the screen, but Todd was an engineer or studied engineering, so you know everything up there about that math, don't you? So not even going to say anything. So confusion and what we might call clutter of the mind. That guy looks like he's in space because there's too much going on upstairs. And we'll get back to clutter of the mind in just a little bit. Just the nature of life, the fact that it's tumultuous, the fact that we live in a fallen world. I was on one of my Rocky Mountain trips from way, way, way back. I was with a few of the guides, and we were at a place that was just excellent, an excellent lookout. Beautiful view, and I said, and there was one little two-lane country road winding between the mountains, and it had just been paved, the lines had just been painted, and to me, that was beautiful. To me, it was that through there, the way the lines, you know, sometimes it looks like, you know, someone needs a little more Diet Mountain Dew when they do the lines, you know, because they do them in the middle of the night, and it's like, oh yeah, that guy needed to be a little more awake. Not in this case. These were perfect, or at least from 2 miles away, they looked perfect. But anyway, and it was just, to me, it was beautiful. To one of the guides, that road's there. To him, it ruined it. So we all have different things that bring us peace. I was just thinking, I don't know how God would feel about the road winding through there. I think that He would think that that's awesome. That, hey, this is a fallen world. Vegetation's gone wild. Things aren't the way they were, the way they're supposed to be. And look what my creation, my people made in my image were able to make a smooth path. You know, God talks about making your way straight, taking away the hills and the valleys to have a straight path. And so I think, now the other guy wouldn't agree, but I think that God thinks that's beautiful. Look what they did, and now they can move. Now they can do things. I think about not all of you, but a lot of you in here knew Jim and Dorothea Patterson. And did Jim ever get the 20th stent? He wanted to get the 20th. Did he ever get to 20? Anyway, he had 17, 18, 19 stents. And I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking, you know what? God's thinking those surgeons are in there doing their thing. And then as soon as that stent is put in, God's like, you know what? Now that blowing the way I wanted it to flow. Now that little part of the fall, these people, these creatures of mine, these people made in my image were able to go in there and get that blood flowing again. And now he's going to get nutrients to that part of the body. And now the blood can do its cleanup job that it's supposed to do. And, you know, I just think, you know, now God might have been thinking, just let him come home. But I think the stent you know, hey, I think that's a beautiful thing to God. We're in a fallen world. It's messed up. And so anything we can do to get things a little bit moved back to the right, I think he's pleased with that. And this summer, this whole idea, this whole concept of Dr. Jeremiah's book, same thing. If you can do one little thing tonight before bed, if you can say one little prayer that gives you a little more peace spiritually than you had this morning or yesterday, then God's going to feel good about that. He's going to be pleased with that. That gives glory to him. When we take the fallen nature of our world and our bodies and everything else, and we move it a little bit toward him, that is a great and glorious thing. So even though we're in a tumultuous world, even though we're in a fallen world, we can still have peace. But these are some of the things that would, you know, cause people to lose some of that peace. Here, just indecision again. The idea of not having direction, of not knowing where one is going, that causes a lot of stress. Peace comes with knowing a direction. And in Christ, we know the direction. Ultimately, we do. We may still be wondering about our job. We may be wondering about our health. We may be wondering about other things. But we do have a direction in Jesus Christ. I'm teaching a class right now on Wednesday nights. Not tonight. I got a sub. That is trying to confront the noise of life, called Media Matters and Entertainment Essentials. And looking at popular music and TV shows and movies and evaluating them from a Christian perspective. Looking a little bit at social media, but if any of you have been on my Facebook page, you know I'm just terrible. I don't post anything. I'm the teenagers would say, fail concerning my social media abilities. But it's all to confront the noise of life, because we have a ton of noise, ton of stuff bombarding us, a ton of things that are just, you know, and how do we filter that? How do we deal with all that? So just the chaos causes people to lose sight of their peace. You all have heard me say it before, and I'll just keep saying it probably till I die. But if the news causes you stress, don't watch the news. You know, there is nothing in Luke chapter 5 where Jesus said, you know what, you better keep track of what the Romans are doing. You better keep track of every little thing they do and immerse yourself in it so that you're in the know. I mean, Jesus never said that. He never once told him to think about what the Romans were doing or anyone else. Now some people, they love that. And you may be one of those people, and it doesn't cause you stress. You keep your peace and your joy and your love, and everything is great. You can watch 3 hours of news, and you are the same person or even better. But a lot of people can't do that. A lot of people watch the news, and they are negative. Don't watch it. You don't have to. Pull out your Bible for 2 or 3 hours instead of watching the news. And in seriousness, it could be a spiritually devastating thing to keep pumping yourself full of all that stuff. Talk radio, on both ends of the spectrum, they are hired to rile people up. They are hired because they can get people they're all about. And so, you know, if it's getting to you a certain week, if it's kind of like, boy, why am I on edge? Just turn it off. You know, it's the little things, and they will make a difference. So, get rid of some of the noise in your life, if that will help you. I should have talked about get rid of the noise that's on these things sometimes. People take breaks. It's really fun. I like it when people say, if you have anything to tell me, tell it to me in the next day, because I'm taking a 2-month break from Facebook, or I'm taking a 6-week break from all social media. And depending on how well I know them, I might just say, hey, good for you. You know, hey, I'm on a 10-year hiatus from, anyway, so let's keep moving. Then Dr. Jeremiah has peace and the Spirit of God, peace and the Son of God, peace and the Word of God, and then peace and prayer, I believe. And I'm just going to slightly change those, not by much, but just to kind of summarize them and move through But starting with this one, peace and the Spirit of God, because peace and God's Spirit are just like this in Scripture. When Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you," it's all about the Holy Spirit coming in the context, at least a little farther down. And then I changed "and the Son of God" to "the mind of Christ." So peace in the mind of Christ, and peace in the Word of God, I left that, but with it, just be thinking about Christ as well, the living Word. When we read about the Word of God, think about the living Word as well. And then we will end with a prayer, actually. So, okay, we just got a little bit more time. So, and this is the passage I was just talking about. A lot of verses here, I'll go through them kind of quickly. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And by the way, right there is a peace-giving action. If Jesus says, I'll use a command that I use on myself all the time. It's not him exactly, but through his apostles. The fruit of the Spirit, peace, patience. So if Jesus, through his word and through the apostles, says for me to be patient, then I need to make the decision to be patient. If I follow his command, I will have peace. If I don't follow his command and I'm impatient, I will not have or experience peace like I could have if I would have followed his command. I mean, pretty simple, right? People that are involved in sin, it causes that peace factor to definitely go down. So if you love Christ, if you love me, he says, you will keep my commands, my commandments. And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And then relating back to our life concept, because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. There's some question about that. And then Jesus answers, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. So, pretty awesome stuff. We are told that when we are baptized into Christ, we receive the gift that is the Holy Spirit. We receive him, and he dwells in us and with us. And he's described here as the Helper. He's an advocate. He's a counselor. Same idea there from a legal standpoint. He's going to go to bat for us, in other words. And then my favorite, really, concerning, that gives me probably the most peace concerning the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And I don't want to make too much of that being singular, but it's just our weakness, our fallenness, the fact that that we aren't the way we ought to be. Because of this world, because of sin, because of the fall. And so he helps us in that. And then he specifically talks about prayer. For we don't even know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And so I get a lot of peace, a lot of comfort from those two verses, because when I'm praying for something or for someone, I can just kind of know in the back of my mind that, okay, if I'm not quite getting this right, if I'm not exactly praying for what I should be, then the Spirit is going to intercede on my behalf and on the person's behalf. The Spirit is going to pray according to God's will. So the young lady I mentioned earlier that doesn't like her job. So let's say that I pray that she'll start liking her job, that she'll start, that it'll start being something that's more fulfilling and better and on and on and on. But God, through his foreknowledge and his sovereignty and everything else, knows, you know what, it would be a whole lot better for the kingdom if she has this job over here. Well, I can be praying that everything will be better in her current job, and the Spirit will, he'll adapt for me. Because my prayer is wrong. My prayer is not in accordance with God's will. There's no way for me to know that, but it's not in accordance with God's will. The Spirit will pray then according to the will of God. And that gives me great, amazing comfort and peace. And so peace and the word of Christ, or the mind of Christ, sorry. And we mentioned this earlier, but we just need to declutter our minds. We need to have clarity. We need to have mental peace. We need to try to take the noise of the world and get it to a place where we can function more effectively for Christ and more effectively for the kingdom. Very simple. And this is all in the context of wisdom, by the way. But 1 Corinthians 2, the last half of verse 16, we have the mind of Christ. We should be different. We should be transformed. This should be a whole different ball game for us. And then I thought we need one passage here tonight that kind of focuses in on evangelism and reaching out to others. They all do indirectly, but this more specifically. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. So if we get our minds right, if we get the right kind of focus and the right kind of template sunglasses that we're looking through life with, then we're going to realize, you know, people, we don't look at them the way the world would. We see souls. We see people who are hurting and need a Savior. We see people who are lost and need a Savior. We see things from a better perspective in Christ, and if we are experiencing the peace that comes from Christ, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. There's that Greek concept of peace. He brought us back together. He gave us peace and gave us the ministry of peacemaking. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I mean, everything's about Christ, is it not? Everything is just oozing Jesus in the New Testament, including how we view other people, including how we are saved, how others are saved, obviously all in Jesus Christ. So peace in the Word of God. And here, I just want to parallel verses 15 and 16 for you. It's really kind of powerful. Peace of Christ is paralleled with Word of Christ. Rule in your hearts, paralleled with dwell in you richly. Really the same message there. And so if the Word of Christ is dwelling in us, the peace of Christ will be there. If the peace of Christ is dwelling in us, his Word will be there. And in this case, like the Colossians, they didn't have the Bible. So what we're talking about is they had this letter, and they might have had some copies of some other stuff, but what they had was the declaration that is Christ. They had the message. I'm not a huge fan of the version called The Message by Eugene Patterson or Peterson, but that's the idea. The message is Christ. He's the living Word. He is the message. And I think that's awesome. Great. And I'm not downplaying the version either. It's a great devotional tool. But the peace of Christ and the Word of Christ go hand in hand. And we are to allow Christ's peace and Christ's teachings, his words, to dwell in us richly, to take hold in our hearts. That's the idea. And in both cases, we are thankful. And that passage ends, of course, this way. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And then, of course, we need to be people who pray. I think a lot of us just need to make the decisions to go. I don't feel like my prayers are powerful enough. I don't think I do a good job studying the Bible. I don't think I'm a good people person. I don't think that I am a great representative for the kingdom. I don't think I'm a great ambassador for Christ. You know, on and on and on we can go with excuses, but the bottom line is, let's not hold back. Okay, you know, none of us are the best prayers in the world, but let's pray anyway. None of us study the Bible as in a great way as Christ could have, but we still need to study our Bibles. We still need that word in us to receive that peace. And so don't hold yourself back. The 12 apostles sure weren't perfect. Even the 11 that turned out halfway decent, and then adding in Matthias. But, we need to just go. We need to just do it. As Dr. Jeremiah says, we just need to make the decisions. I'm going to decide to live a life of love. I'm going to decide to live a life of joy and peace. I'm just going to do it. And so we get on our knees and we ask God for help in that, because we need help in that. But He knows that. And He's given us His Spirit. He gave us His Son. God is not lacking in the giving department. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, give things to you, bless you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. That's what He wants to do that. He wants to do all those things for every single one of us. So let's determine that we're going to live a life of peace, and that is 1/9 of living a life beyond amazing. So let's pray together. It's 8 o'clock or a little after. God, we thank You so very much for Your blessings. You're an amazing God. You are the God of peace. And Father, Your Son has promised us peace. He's promised us salvation in Him. We know that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Father, help us to think about things above, where Christ is seated at Your right hand. And help us to dwell on those things, not on earthly things, God, because we have been transformed. We have been changed. And we know when Christ, who is our life, appears, we also will appear with Him in glory. Father, give us Your peace, we pray boldly, and give us the ability to pass that on to other people. We pray all this in the name of Christ. Amen.